Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It is another hour of the program coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket Cam, Brian Weber with you. As always, we have a quick tempo when I'm in the chair, but the goal is to have a conversation. Hey, man, how are you? You can pick up the phone at 1-800-636-8686. We will not have a conversation with anybody but you until 40 minutes from now. Jarrett Bell, longtime columnist for USA Today and other outlets, has been covering the NFL for decades. Honored last week by the Hall of Fame. We will hit on all of the key storylines across the National Football League, in addition to what I'm going to address presently, Jimmy G analysis, to kick off this hour of the program. You want to hit me up on Twitter, that's BW Weber, Weber with two B's, emails, RomanHaveATake.com. It's not breaking news, it's a developing story. Tom Brady not participating in the joint practice between the Dolphins and the Bucks, citing personal reasons. I'm Brian Weber, and that's your update. Back to you. How do you think those conversations with Tua and Brady have gone? And Tua seems like a nice dude. From a distance, maybe too nice, and I'm not going to dust off the fill-in host handbook. Rip somebody for not having the clutch gene. Can you be nice and be an effective quarterback? React! 1-800-636-8686. But I mentioned it throughout the monologue an hour ago, and as we head back to the quarterback conversation, last hour was, what's Bill Belichick trying to achieve at the age of 70 with just some utterly bizarre choices on his coaching staff? And it's great to have Tom in the chair, have a salient football conversation during the breaks. I threw out the notion that Mac Jones has enough problems. Who is he talking to when, say, he throws a pick and he comes off the sideline? Who is he going to have that conversation with? And Tom pointed out that Joe Judge is the quarterback coach. Based on his extensive years of success for the Rough Riders or the Rough Riders, I forget, one of two in the Canadian Football League. But we talked Brady and we talked Belichick. But I did mention that it has been very clear Miami has flirted with every quarterback that they perceive to be an upgrade over two along the way. We have documentation that the tampering case that the league dropped the hammer, quote-unquote, on Miami about last week, although nothing to see here when we're talking about fixing games, tanking games, because the league can't have that. But the conversations, and there's evidence provided by the league, between the Dolphins and Patriots going back to when Brady was playing in New England. And Brady can say, well, I just took the phone call. I didn't make an outgoing call. But it's interesting that there's been no blowback on Brady. But if you're Tua, you know about that. And he was asked about it. He said, well, but that was really before I had a chance to get established. I'm cool with it because he seems like a low-key guy. We have had the definitive reports that Miami was pushing hard for Deshaun Watson, but they weren't as foolish as Cleveland to go with $230 million fully guaranteed for a player who I firmly believe, at a minimum, will not be available for a dozen games. I think more likely the outcome is a year-long suspension and a fine approaching $10 million, because the league is also miffed that the Browns were complicit with Watson and tried to shield his income by having the ridiculously low base salary of just over $1 million and the signing bonus of $46 million. But you also have the Jimmy Garoppolo murmurs, given his relationship with Mike McDaniel, the new offensive-minded head coach in Miami. So should we be talking more about Jimmy G, or is the general apathy a reflection of what he has demonstrated himself to be as a quarterback? And I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. More thoughts from you on Twitter coming up in 15 minutes. BW Weber, Weber with two B's, and I'm going to talk just a little bit, a smidge of baseball, using the second and perhaps last Field of Dreams game coming up in Iowa tonight. Anything can happen when Garrett Ritz Cubs 20 games under 500. Take on the last place Reds, but we know that's a gimmick. It's just like the outdoor hockey game. We're watching because of the aesthetic and the optics, but if baseball can get us to care about that to a degree, why can't they sell Shohei Ohtani to anybody beyond seven people out of the 30 million who live here in Southern California? That's coming up in 15 minutes. But since there is some apathy about Ohtani, and I'll give you my thoughts as to why that's the case, feels like, shifting back to the NFL, there's a similar, Jimmy G, even in San Francisco, I monitor what's going on in my former marketplace. I am a free agent. No need to tamper with me. You could tweet at me looking for work, BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Got a nice tweet from the great Damon Bruce, who used to fill in for Jim, holding it down on 95.7 The Game, part of the Odyssey family in San Francisco. But Niner fans feel like, and some of that, based on my years in the San Francisco Bay Area, comes down to their sense of entitlement. We're the Niners. Based on our birthright, once Joe Montana arrived on the scene as a third-round pick after the chicken soup game in the Cotton Bowl playing for Notre Dame, we have earned Super Bowls because we're the Niners. And Jimmy G got us, quote-unquote, and we know really it was the rushing attack and the defense, but Jimmy G was under center in a Super Bowl, and he didn't deliver, and that's fair. Close your eyes, not if you're driving. But since radio is theater of the mind, just conjure up the image of Jimmy G going deep against the Chiefs, Manuel Sanders wide open, and it wasn't even close. And I get it, because I think that Jimmy G has always been just a guy. Stats can be massaged, manipulated. I do have a growing appreciation, and I fall victim to this, but folks who say don't look at wins and losses for quarterbacks, they make a strong argument. Because if you want to prop up Jimmy G, you just point out how many wins he has as a starting quarterback versus the losses. Looks pretty exceptional. Except if you actually watch football. I know it's a novel concept. It's our job after all, but most of us are watching the games presumably because we still love the sport, although you would be surprised if you meet people in our industry, a lot of folks just stop watching games and you hear lame excuses like, oh, this will go over well on Twitter. When you work at McDonald's, you don't want to eat French fries anymore. And yes, I still eat French fries. Thank you very much. But if you've watched the 49ers, just go back to the NFC title game. Jimmy G just misses too many opportunities. And to get you to another football bromide, thank you, Brohelius, the margin between good teams and championship teams in the NFL is so small, that's where the quarterbacks separate themselves. And Jimmy G has proven repeatedly he just can't make those throws. Doesn't mean he should be deported. We're not putting him in football jail. But obviously, the team that knows him the best, in addition to the issue of getting hurt, although in fairness, he played the majority of last year. But why do you think the Niners went all in on Trey Lance, based on a small sample size of college work because of the COVID issue that wrapped up his career at North Dakota State and did not have the opportunity to play much at all that year. But I think sometimes we overlook how much the Niners gave up trading up to get Trey Lance. Three first-round picks when you had, at least the perception said, an established starting quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo. And the view from Niner apologist is that Shanahan and Lynch can take things to the next level. Like the Golden State Warriors and their owner, Joe Lacob, said, the Niners can be light years ahead of everybody if Trey Lance can figure out the nuances of Shanahan's offense because he's such a tremendous athlete. And my pushback would be, okay, let's see it on the field. And I realize I'm being unfair, but what we've seen from Trey Lance has been, all right, nothing to blow you away. And for the folks who live and die on every breathless report from training camp, well, apparently he's having accuracy issues again, as we've heard throughout this entire conversation about Jimmy G. Now, that could be leaked by pro-Jimmy G folks, but they have no case to make. Jimmy Garoppolo will be listed as fourth on the depth chart tomorrow night when the Niners take on the Packers. And I hope Aaron Rodgers has to play at least one series just to make him even more miffed. He can have more of that magic tea. Talk more about love. We're going to spend a lot of time on the mysterious developments, the psychedelic experience that is Aaron Rodgers. But Garoppolo is not going to play for the 49ers, and they're not going to keep him around just out of sentimentality because he's due to make $24 million. So I'm amazed San Francisco just has not realized this is a sunk cost. Get something for him. Anything. And we realize that deadlines spur action, so Jim will be here end of the month, and he'll be on the air when we get more clarity. But if you're San Francisco, unless you have absolutely no concern about where Garoppolo goes, wouldn't you want to control his path, at least potentially out of the division? I guess the answer is no, because they have seen enough of Jimmy Garoppolo on Sundays, and more importantly, in a practice setting, that they just don't think he is going to be impactful. And after Baker Mayfield was given away by Cleveland, in part because Baker wanted out and he's eating a good chunk of salary, and all that Cleveland got for the former number one overall pick is a conditional fourth or fifth round pick. What are you getting for Jimmy G? But something's better than nothing. A reminder, the Colts, when they picked up Matt Ryan, now he's a former league MVP and I think still more productive than Garoppolo, they got a third round pick, but San Francisco seems content to let it play out. So I think we get to the end of the month, and where is Jimmy Garoppolo going? Well, I think a good way of solving that question. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Your voice can be heard at 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets coming up in 10 minutes. BW Weber, Weber with two B's in 30 minutes. We take you across the NFL with Jarrett Bell of USA Today. If we're going to try to divine, we're going to tap into our animal mind like Aaron Rodgers. Where is Garoppolo going? Well, we do have a handful of unsettled quarterback situations. Don't call it a quarterback controversy. That was Joe Montana and Steve Young. Pittsburgh, when you have Mitchell Trubisky v. Kenny Pickett v. Mason Rudolph, that's maybe a competition, and Trubisky's going to win that job. We know ultimately Pickett's going to be the guy because you don't invest a first-round pick in a quarterback to have him sit in the modern NFL. Although if we're going to do that, where is my guy Devlin Duck Hodges? Best nickname in the modern NFL. Apparently, and I was flipping around the other night, I really need to get a life or hobbies or something that replicates life outside of clutching a microphone. He's in the Canadian Football League. Yes, I was watching the greatness of the Montreal Alouettes. Panthers, I talked about that quarterback situation. It's going to be Baker. They evidently just want to collect bust from the 2018 draft. Not bust that we're going to see in Canton, Ohio, but the former number one overall pick and Baker and Sam Darnold, who will be playing elsewhere next year. That's going to be Baker. I think it's pretty clear. Seattle is a muddled mess. There is a school of thought that Pete Carroll wants Geno Smith, and he's going to make the decision, so it's not really a desire. It can be a controlled outcome. Wants Geno Smith to start at the beginning of the year to prove that we didn't need Russell Wilson. Now, I've heard this out there. I don't even understand the logic here. I get paid to come up with arguments. This is the most inane position I have heard in a long time. But like Bill Belichick, Pete's 70 years old. He can do whatever he wants. Sprinting up and down the practice field. Looking spry, the Silver Fox. But how in the world can you stand pat with either Geno Smith or Trey Lance? So Garoppolo to Seattle makes so much sense. And maybe it's just a matter of time. I'll give you another team that's been overlooked. And I mentioned it in the first hour, but the audience is always changing. New York Giants make a lot of sense to me. You're just going to give away another year with Daniel Jones being a turnover machine. Give him 6 to 8 games of Brian Daboll when we see further evidence that Jones is not suited to be a starter in the National Football League. Make the move to Garoppolo in a division you might have a chance at making some noise within. Because nobody thinks the Cowboys are world beaters or Philadelphia and Washington with Carson Wentz, but the Giants are just stuck in neutral because the Mara family and the Tisch family don't care that much about winning, in my opinion. Winning. Lastly, what about the Rams? Matthew Stafford has a lingering elbow issue. I'm not going to play doctor on the radio, but I live in Southern California. I got to watch these dopey training camp updates on the local news because I'm that key demo, 52 to in the grave, and somebody's sweating in Irvine here in Southern California telling me, well, Matthew Stafford didn't throw again. There's a preseason game on Saturday. I know he did not participate in the preseason last year, okay? But Matthew Stafford has a long injury history. Elbows are important in throwing the football. Niners don't seem to care where Garoppolo goes. Rams will spend whatever it takes because if you are a member of the Walmart family, if your last name is Walton or you married somebody who had the last name of Walton, you have unlimited resources. And that's what Stan Kroenke has proven. And you cannot in any way critique the process. It's worked. You can say in many ways they bought a championship and there's nothing wrong with that. They had to win it on the field, but I never thought I would say in my lifetime Super Bowl champion Matthew Stafford, but the current backup is the immortal John Wolford. I'll say that quickly. Wolford. Remember? It's not Louisville. It's Louisville. We've seen him, what, one game to wrap up the COVID season? So if you're the Rams and you're proactive, as they've been repeatedly, you don't worry about finances, why not sign Jimmy Garoppolo? He's proven to be, according to reports, a good locker room guy. Seems pretty mellow there at the podium. Hey, he's already said goodbye to everybody in San Francisco. He did that after the NFC title game. We're not going to see him play for the Niners ever again. So file that one away. And I don't want to be hyper-local, but Stafford has been beaten up over the years, and now he's got this elbow thing, so Garoppolo to the Rams makes a lot of sense to me. 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets coming up. Keep them friendly. Let's not get too crass. In 25 minutes, more NFL analysis provided by one of the best in the business, USA Today's football columnist Jared Bell. Up next, just a little bit of baseball. I just can't do 3 hours of NFL and college football. I know I should. 5 minutes on baseball. And I'm not just pointing out, oh, it's going to be a nice night to watch baseball in Iowa. I'm not going to do top five sports movies. Your thoughts? 1-800-636-8686. It's a gimmick, but it's good TV. I'll all be watching preseason football. I will not be watching Little League qualifying play. Can I spend 10 seconds on that? Aren't we exploiting these kids? I do not need to see a 12-year-old breaking down emotionally because they're not moving on to regional play. And I know the pushback, and I don't have kids, all right? I am self-involved. I have nieces, good enough. They don't want to talk to me, and I guess that's what I would encounter as being a parent. But I have no problem with the actual games from Williamsport being on TV. A million years ago, when the championship game was on Wide World of Sports with Jim McKay calling the United States against Taiwan. Yeah, Taiwan, not Chinese Taipei. Taiwan, that was dramatic. That was exciting. And I know why it's on right now. It's cheap programming. Because you have these kids for free. Do they have access to name, image, and likeness? Probably. Why not make a buck if you're 12 years old? Because a programming executive who's making a lot more than $1 is exploiting your free labor to put you on TV. That was upbeat. Oh, yeah, we're talking about Field of Dreams, which is a good watch. They can't in any way match the magic of last year, but I'll use that as the foundation. If baseball can sell this to us, according to reports, the TV ad rate is the highest of the entire regular season. They're getting more tonight than they're getting for the All-Star game regularly. If baseball can make us care to a degree about this gimmick, how come they can't get anybody to seemingly care about Shohei Ohtani, who is doing things we have never seen in better than a century's worth of baseball history? I'm Brian Weber, childless and angry, apparently. In for Jim Rome, you're in the jungle here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on a jam-packed Thursday. We'll do it again tomorrow. But I have better news than that. Jim is back on Monday. We've made it. I know. I'm with you. Better show as a viewer and listener, as a daily person who partakes in both of those mediums. We all want Jim to come back. He's enjoying the last days of hashtag Lake Life. He'll be rested and ready to go. So you only have to deal with me for the remainder of this program and tomorrow, but we'll still try to get interactive. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, rome@avatake.com. More of your tweets presently, BW Weber. Weber with two Bs will keep this block concise because in 15 minutes, we talk NFL with Jared Bell, longtime columnist for a variety of outlets now working for USA Today. I mentioned there's a connection between the great Count, Tom always, skillfully producing the program, and Ritt, who was here. When Ritt told me, I don't know, today, boss, it was like, okay, he didn't say boss. I'm now completely now imagining that conversation in my mind. But I have a connection between Ritt and Tom you may not have thought of. It concerns the Ivy League, and we'll do it in the final hour of the program. I keep pushing it back, because I need you. You know I'm needy, but I want your support and company along the way. Okay, more tweets. Ken and Essay, breaking news, Jimmy G has been traded to Chipotle, your Subway. He's a handsome man. Can we talk about that? That's how you become a quarterback. You're the best looking or tallest kid in grammar school. He's not fat. Garrett Ritt, again, less than 100%. I'm glad you found a button. Are we even on the air? Hello, anybody? Sorry. Laconic. Coach Belichick should be able to coach as long as he wants to. Regards, Emmett Smith, playing for the Arizona Cardinals. No Patrick Ewing, playing for the Sonics. Hi, Brian, from Bella B in Calgary. A haiku just for you. Let me get the paper close to my eyes to make sure I can belt this out. Smooth voice of B-Web, pocket square and microphone. Let us all rejoice. That is the classiest item that has been associated with any of my programs in years. Thank you, Bella B. Finally, Alan in Manitoba writes, Brian, props to Wells for sneaking in a John Denver reference. Signed, Harrison Ford, currently on final approach on the 16th green.
Get off my plane.
Sonny Bono will be skiing into the program in the final hour of the show. I promised baseball, and I did think about my experience last week. We're not going to go through. You know, I was able to break the news. I saw on television that Jeff Passan of ESPN was reporting Juan Soto was on his way from Washington to San Diego. But it did get me energized. And for whatever reason, I guess like the rest of you, I have a shorter attention span. When I get immersed in something, now I'm into it. So I've been watching MLB Network again, and there's my former radio colleague, Brian Kenny, screaming about Kill the Bunt and everything else going on. But baseball has the unique ability to tap into its history. I realize that is also a challenge because none of us read anymore. On TikTok, I don't think you have access to Bill James breaking down the relative merits of Tony Gwynn versus Ted Williams. I understand. The world has changed. But baseball's history should drive much more interest other than most of us just live in the moment. And I get it. Only reason I know all this useless stuff is there was nothing else to do in 1983. I was a lonely kid. My parents were too cheap to buy me a TV in my room, and we had some books. It was exciting. Exciting time. But the balancing act for baseball is you can't be too historic because when you tap into the wrong chapter in the past, you get, say, Pete Rose's performance over the weekend. This just in, Pete Rose is a cretin. And let's stop the Hall of Fame conversation. And he should not be in the Hall of Fame because it was on every clubhouse wall I ever entered in the 9 years I was covering baseball. No gambling on baseball. Not only did he break the cardinal rule in the sport, he lied about it for decades. But now we're going to give him a pass because he's older? I'm sorry. And call me a cynic, but you are what you consistently do. The man lied to all of us for decades. So I'm not begrudging him the opportunity to earn a living, but he should not be in the Hall of Fame. And clearly, he should not be allowed at Major League ballparks anymore. Because we saw on Sunday, every time he opens his mouth, something borderline hideous comes out. But that's the problem when baseball taps into its history. You get Pete Rose. Or we bring up Ty Cobb. Or the Red Sox didn't integrate their team until 1959 with Pumpsy Green. So that's why the Field of Dreams game is perfect. It embraces the past without really getting into history because it's from a book that was turned into a movie, unless you really want to go down the long relitigation of what Shoeless Joe Jackson knew, and was he too illiterate to be involved in the fixing of that World Series? Did he even understand what the concept of money is? I mean, you have all these Joe Jackson apologists who make it sound like the man could barely come up with a thought, but we'll save that for my podcast, Around the Bases with B-Web, available wherever you get your podcasts. But if you appreciate any of baseball's history without many of the problematic chapters, that's why the Field of Dreams game is so outstanding. And more to the point, it's a television experience. When the Yankees and the White Sox walked out of the cornfields, it was an electric moment. And I'm glad I'm still capable of any feeling. I watched that entire game. You know what you're going to find out tonight? Beyond the matchup, which can't match last year, it was almost straight out of the WWE. Second wrestling reference in the last 90 minutes. I need my own podcast. Where's Conrad Thompson when you need him? But when you have the walk-off home run by Tim Anderson, it was an incredible, dramatic, unique, special moment. This year we have the Cubs. Go Cubs, go. 20 games under 500 against the Reds. 22 games back in their division. Yeah, they're going to wear all uniforms. I'm aware of the history and why they're there. The senior circuit, we used to have opening day on a Tuesday in Cincinnati, but that got sold out as well because everything now is for sale in baseball. But a couple thoughts about tonight's game. You're going to miss Joe Buck. And I tweeted that during the All-Star game, and I got a lot of pushback. Half of the excitement last year was a big game voice who sold the moment. Although if you listen closely in the promos, you don't hear Joe Buck's call because he's now working for a different network. But we all have different preferences, and I realized that Buck was buried continuously on baseball for a perception that he was smug or didn't want to be there. You think Joe Buck doesn't love baseball? He grew up in a baseball booth with his old man. But just follow it away. Because the All-Star game certainly felt different in terms of just the broadcast gravitas on a Big Word Thursday. But it's not about the game itself. It's the experience. It's the emotions that get conjured up. And that's what baseball can do better than any other sport. Length of decades. So why are they not doing this with Shohei Ohtani? And I can come up with some straightforward reasons for why many of you don't seem to care at all. We're seeing somebody do something that only Babe Ruth did in the past. You throw around the adjective, that's Ruthian. It's literally Babe Ruth and Shohei Ohtani. That's it. Only players with at least 10 home runs and 10 pitching victories in the same season. And nobody seems to care. Now, maybe there's a language barrier, not to be a xenophobe. Oh, the big words are coming out. But it's a Japanese star, not someone produced domestically. Maybe all of you are savvy enough to know that Ohtani has dealt with injuries and this is not sustainable. He's going to have to choose one or the other. But isn't that the point? If it doesn't feel like this can continue for two or three or five more years, shouldn't we be savoring every time he's out there on the mound? And what do you know? He's going 1-for-3 as well, or hitting a home run. He's got 25 home runs, and he's also had 100 strikeouts. That's back-to-back seasons he's put up those numbers. And I just get the sense nationally, there's no conversation about it. Yeah, it's in the highlights, but the highlight shows don't mean anything because you get everything on your phone. I think the other issue is, in the era of embrace debate, what's the topic with Shohei Ohtani? So I'm here and the dog's there, and he's going to talk about Babe Ruth. Who's going to take the anti-Shohei Ohtani point of view? Other than, if you want to point out what we know to be true, he's broken down in the past, so you can just say it's going to happen again. But there's no anti-Ohtani perspective because it's all extraordinary. But the apathy to me is just ridiculous. And you know by now, I've been in this chair a long time, I never talk baseball. And I'm here in Southern California where nobody cares about the Angels within this marketplace. I'm in the same county as the Angels. I could drive by the big hats on my way home, but nobody seems to care. And we went through this with Mike Trout. So there's the Angel problem. I get it. There's the baseball is less relevant point of view. I understand. But when someone is doing something we've not seen in the better part of a century, and as a nation, we have no interest, it is baffling to me. But you do you. That's what Ritt told me. You're going to make it, Garrett. Just like Mary Tyler Moore. You should put on a beret. It would cut down on the glare. That's why I always look at Tom. A lot more going on up top. Straight ahead, back to the NFL. Even with Matthew Stafford's uncertainty, I'm not letting go of that elbow injury. Are the Rams poised to become the first repeat Super Bowl champs in 18 years? Looking forward to my latest conversation with Jarrett Bell, NFL columnist for USA Today, honored by the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio last week. First, let's get you a sports update. Rich Ackerman has the latest.
CBS Sports Radio. Sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We roll on this jam-packed Thursday. Brian Weber with you. You can slide in at 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets coming up in the last hour of the program. BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Now let's talk football. Pleased to be joined by Jarrett Bell, NFL columnist for USA Today, who's been covering the league for many years. Jarrett, how are you?
Hey, pretty good, Brian. How about yourself?
I am doing well. And before we talk about matters on the field, I want to bring up something really special that you were a part of last week at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, selected as the winner of the Bill Nunn Jr. Award by the Professional Football Writers Association of America for your long and accomplished career. Jarrett, I know it's not easy to talk about yourself, but what did receiving that honor mean to you?
It means you've been doing it for a long time. I was really humbled and honored in Canton last weekend. And really, since they announced the award a couple of months ago, it's been pretty cool, and I've heard from so many people in the NFL universe, but I'm not done yet. That's the other thing. I'm back to the grind this week and looking forward to, you know, more years of coverage. But it has been pretty cool to kind of bask a little bit. But, yeah, I want to get back to the grind, too.
Well, congratulations, and they're honoring you in your prime with many good years coming up. So let's talk about Deshaun Watson. We're all waiting to hear the word from the former Attorney General of New Jersey, Peter Harvey, as to how he's going to find in the league's appeal the 6-game suspension. Jarrett, if it gets bumped up to, say, a dozen games or a full year, how do you think the Browns are going to look on the field with Jacoby Brissett as the starter?
Yeah, you know, Jacoby Brissett has been a guy, and I've followed him, you know, throughout his career, really, going back to New England. So they have a serviceable backup plan in Brissett. Now, I think, you know, and the Browns, really, it's weird when you think about that team because they're like every other year they're good, or at least in the last few years. And so I think they can reasonably – and obviously they're a different team with Deshaun Watson, and that was their whole plan and the reason for getting him is to see if they can go to another level. But I think they'll be competitive either way, but it's a different deal when you've got Deshaun. But all that said, you know, there's just so much uncertainty regarding what's going to happen there. It's so difficult to really make a long range projection on them right now until we hear from Peter Harvey, right? So, you know, Brian, I'm like so many people. We're wondering, okay, you know, how deep will Harvey go with this suspension? The one thing I can say right off the bat, you know, regardless of how many games Harvey determines that Deshaun should serve or not, there has to be some kind of counseling and treatment element in the final decision, because I think that was something that was totally lacking from Sue Robinson's decision. Okay, here's six games, but when we talk about the nature of the allegations against Deshaun Watson, to not have counseling and treatment as part of that final conclusion, I thought was a miss from Judge Robinson. So we can definitely argue on the length of the suspension. Is it six games? Is it eight games? The league has been pushing for a full year. And I know, as I've tried to process it all, just, you know, as a journalist and as someone who has covered this league for a long time, it has been very difficult to really get a grip on what is really fair or not. Because, as we know, Brian, the NFL's court versus the legal system that we are, you know, all attached to, if you will, is they're two different things. And so on one hand, you argue with Deshaun Watson, well, no convictions in, you know, a criminal situation. But on the other hand, the NFL has a different standard. So I don't know. That's a mouthful, I know.
Well, there's a lot to dissect, and we're all waiting, as you said, for the decision from Peter Harvey. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, talking football with Jared Bell of USA Today. Jared, I'm here in Southern California, where there is a lot of concern about the status of Matthew Stafford with this lingering elbow injury. What's your perspective on how things could play out for a veteran quarterback and the Rams trying to go back-to-back? We haven't seen it in 18 years since the Patriots won consecutive Super Bowls.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, you know, Stafford's health is, you know, something to pay close attention to, as I'm sure they are. Now, I just saw a clip earlier this week with Matthew Stafford throwing a no-look pass in practice. That was pretty good. So hopefully it's not going to be something lingering. But, you know, when you start talking about quarterbacks getting up in age and injuries, you know, one thing could end up being more serious over time than another. So without, you know, any information to the contrary, you know, I don't know what to make of it, except to say, you know, it's wait and see. But when you get back to your question about the Rams and, you know, their viability as a contender to repeat, yeah, it's there and it's going to be there. But I think it's also one of those situations where you look at I think it would be much tougher if they were in the AFC, really. Mm-hmm. But you still have, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, Tom Brady and the Bucks, assuming that this situation with Brady that has him out for a couple of weeks doesn't turn out to be something that, you know, extends deep into the season for them. So they'll be in that mix, no doubt. And then even, you know, when you look at, you know, their division, and I mean, is this the year the Cardinals really, you know, make a push to get over the hump? Yeah, I don't know, but I think we know the Rams are definitely right back there. But with Stafford and his health, you know, we'll see.
Got about 2 minutes left, and this is an expansive question, so if you can drill down to a team or two, we'll get granular. We know every year somebody emerges out of nowhere. Bengals went from last place to the Super Bowl. Are there any teams on your radar that you think could take a big step forward this year?
Yeah, you know, and you're right, Brian. It's like every year you go into the league and you say, okay, who's going to be good and who's not, right? Let's say, you know, I think the 49ers are a big X factor. And, you know, we talked about the Rams a minute ago. And look how close the 49ers were to really upsetting them and going on to the Super Bowl. So that's a team definitely to keep an eye on. I wonder about Philadelphia, too. I mean, Philadelphia made some strides, and I would think that that's a team that's going to be, really competing for the NFC East with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are the favorite, obviously, but, you know, I wouldn't place a lot of stock in that. Baltimore's another team with Lamar. You know they're going to be in the hunt, so we'll see where they go. But it's always this deal where, you know, every year you look at, somebody and they come, you know, crashing through as the season goes on. So a bit early for me right now to really make a deep prediction, but, we know that that'll be there.
We got time because it's just week one of the preseason kicking off tonight. Jared, always a pleasure. Congratulations again on the Hall of Fame honor and look forward to reading your work for many years to come.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jared. Have a good day. Jared Bell, NFL columnist for USA Today. And anytime you get recognition at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, any Hall of Fame, I'm in for a Hall of Famer, Jim Rome. I'll throw it out there. What Hall of Fame do you think I would be eligible for? I don't want to read those tweets coming up in about 25 minutes. I'm not self-promoting that, I could be in the Mike Clutching Hall of Fame. Clutch Cargo, thank you very much. What Hall of Fames do you think that I would have a shot at getting into? What a jacket that finally fits, so cross that off your list. Coming up, final hour of the program. I might take a phone call today. 1-800-636-8686. Up next, what is motivating Bill Belichick at the age of 70? That's on the way. I'm Brian Weber, and for Jim Rome, you're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.